His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. Hallelujah. All who worship images are put to shame. Those who boast in idols, worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and rejoices, and the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, O Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Let those who love the Lord hate evil. For he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is shed upon the righteous, and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. Amen. Amen. The Lord reigns. 182.
Thank you.
sing of your inheritance. And you say that you will press in and make it your own. But so many of you fail to do so, because you are children of emotion rather than children of the Spirit. You listen so easily to your feelings and allow your gaze to be directed to yourselves and away from your inheritance. You do indeed have a rich inheritance, and it is my purpose that you press in and make it your own, and that you live in the good of it, as those who are more than conquerors, and who are led in my triumphant procession. But you will never conquer or be victorious by looking at your feelings and emotions, but only by living in the glorious revelation of my truth, of my words of life and power. So, my children, I know that it is easy for you in the time of praise to look at me. But I want to teach you to look to me in the time of testing and of trial. I want to teach you to look to me when your feelings are negative and your heart seems empty. I want you then to know that your inheritance is as real as it is at this moment, that never do I take it away, never do I refuse the blessing to those to whom I have already given them. So remember, my children, I have chosen to give to you every spiritual blessing in my Son. That is your inheritance. In times of difficulty, as well as in times of ease, press in and make them yours.
way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. If you have some questions in the corners of your mind, traces of discouragement, a peace you cannot find, reflections of your past seem to face you every day. But there's one thing I know for sure, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. I know you've got mountains that you think you cannot climb. I know your skies are gray, you think the sun won't shine. In case you don't know that the word of God is true, and everything he promises, he'll do it for you. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, wake up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now let's spell the answer. J. E. S. U. S. Jesus. And again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
J. E. S. U. I think that's the most thrilling name that's ever been written, don't you? You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Praise the Lord. And praise God he sent one called Jesus. We're going to listen to some words of Jesus in John chapter 8 at this moment, and then we're going to go back to the epistle of James. I thought you'd like a real good, cheerful word for tonight. You perhaps haven't looked at James' epistle for some time. And so I thought tonight we'd look at the epistle of James. John chapter 8. Jesus speaking to the Jews in verse 31. I believe God wants to do specific things in our lives tonight in specific areas. We'll come to that. But firstly, let's hear the word of God. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Let's do that again. That was good. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you
free.
They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? You know, there's many a modern equivalent to that statement, that when Jesus offers freedom, we don't recognize the need of freedom. Or when Jesus offers freedom, we don't recognize, we think we've already got freedom. Just like these Pharisees, we're Abraham's children. Surely we're already free. How can you say to us, we shall be set free? But Jesus said, I tell you the truth, that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. All of it. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Praise the Lord. Now James chapter 1. Because if my voice pegs out, God's going to shout it into your heart. This is the secret of your healing. It's the secret of your revival. It's the secret of your living, and it's going to be the secret tonight of your deliverance and your freedom. John chapter 1 and verse 16. James chapter 1 and verse 16. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. The Old Authorized Version says, he is the giver of every good and perfect gift, the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, nor shadow caused by turning. I want the Holy Spirit to write it into your heart for a moment. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. He is the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, nor shadow caused by turning. And what I want you to see tonight is that God has for each one of us, in a whole number of areas, different gifts. God means it for freedom. God means your life for freedom. God means your heart for freedom. God means your money for freedom. God means your family for freedom. God means your home for freedom. God means everything that you are and have for freedom. God means your emotions for freedom. God means your mind for freedom. God means your lips for freedom. God wants your feet to walk in freedom. Freedom is to be the hallmark of all those who live in the power of God. Those who live in the power of God will live in freedom. But everything that God has made for you to be free in, Satan wants you to live in it in bondage. You understand that? That's what I want to tell you tonight. And we're going to have body ministry here tonight. Because so many of us are going to have to meet with the Lord, that we're going to have to meet with each other, that the Lord might touch us. Because I believe God wants to put his hand on very particular areas of our lives. I'm not going to give you a sermon first and then do ministry. I'm going to speak directly what the Lord has spoken into my heart in the upper room. And I believe that God wants to say direct things into you tonight, so that as we come through this meeting, we can experience the liberty of Jesus within our experience. You see the point though? We need to understand that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. See? If we don't understand that the things that we receive in our lives through God come from his hand of goodness and mercy, then Satan will have us living in bondage. And that's the problem with many of us. You take, for example, your home and your marriage, some of you. If we don't understand it's a gift from God, then Satan will be able to work in that realm in slavery. And instead of living in the liberty of Jesus, we'll be living in the bondage of Satan. You understand that? You take your emotions, for example. Unless you understand that they're a gift of God, then Satan will wreak havoc in them, and instead of living in freedom, you'll live in bondage. And yet the scripture says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now, as I was sitting earlier this morning, the Lord put this idea into my mind, and it really affected my heart. It's amazing the power of a thought that comes from God. That's why Satan blinds the minds of those of us that don't believe. Unless the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in and we should be saved. Satan's purpose is to blind your mind. Satan's desire is to keep each one of us from seeing the truth. Because if Satan can prevent us from seeing the truth, then we'll never live in the truth. But what God wants to do is to break through in the power of His Holy Spirit and bring light into our darkness so that we see the truth. And when we know that truth in our hearts and lives, the power of that truth will set us free. See? Let me show you what I mean for a moment. A few years ago, my wife and I were up in Newcastle and Tyne holding a mission. And during that mission, we had some remarkable events. And there was a woman who came to that mission for every night of the mission. And she sat in front of me. And I could tell as the mission went on that she was in bondage. Her face spoke about it. Her body was frozen in it. Every attitude and mannerism that she displayed told me that she was in bondage. And on a Thursday night, about four nights into the mission, it so happened at the end of the meeting that my wife found herself next to this woman and she was praying for her and ministering to her. Because this woman wanted to be set free, but couldn't be set free. And so as Hilda, my wife, ministered, she came over to me after a while and said, "You'll need to come and pray." And it transpired, you know, that this dear girl, a woman in her mid-twenties, 2 years before that very night, had been raped at the back of that very church. She and her husband, she lived upstairs in the flat at the back of that church. And she was living there, and she had been going home one night, gone round the corner, and a man was waiting for her. And he had physically abused her. And from that moment, for 2 years, she couldn't be free. She was in bondage. Satan had brought a tremendous darkness into her life. And I stood in front of her and I asked the Lord for a word. Because I find time and again the thing that breaks through is the word of God. And as I was standing in front of the woman, I looked at her. She was frozen to death and she was absolutely in misery. She hadn't had relations of a sexual kind with her husband for a long time. She couldn't praise the Lord. Her life had caved in and she was in bondage. And I stood there and the Lord gave me a word. And I said to her, "Put your hands out like that." And she put both of her hands out in front of her. I said, "Now in your mind, draw an invisible line between your two hands." I said, "Have you done that?" She said, "I have." I said, "Now put an X on the line for today." So I suppose the line represented about 70 years. So I could see her in our imagination going one third of the way along the line and putting X for 25 or 26 years. I said, "You've put that." She saw a line between her hands with an X on the line. She said, "I've done that." I said, "Now I want you to go back in your imagination on the line 2 years to the point at which this awful thing occurred." I could see her freezing instantly. But you know, God gave her the grace and she went back in her mind. And I said, "Put an X on the line at the point where that thing happened." And she put an X on the line. So here she was sitting in front of me with two hands out like that, with a line drawn between the two in her imagination, and with two X's on the line. One for the present and one for the past. See? And she was in bondage. Now I said to her, "This is what the Lord is saying to me, to you tonight. I am the Lord. I see both of your hands at one time. I can see both the X's on the line. And what is only now to you, I can see it all at once, past, present, and future." And I stood and looked at her hands with my eyes open. And I said, "I'm looking at your hands with your invisible line, just like the Lord is looking at your life. And I can see spot number one, this is today. And I can see spot number two, that was yesterday. And I want to tell you, I'm now taking my hand like God is taking His hand. And I'm reaching down and I'm touching the line. And I'm touching the X that marks yesterday. And I've taken it away." And she sat there and I felt very foolish for a moment. And I said, "Lord, may this work." And I sat there looking at her. And as I sat, her body began to quiver and the tears began to flow down her cheeks. And for 20 minutes she cried and then for 20 minutes she laughed. And then she was liberated in the power of the Holy Spirit, you see. And she was set free. Because Satan, now I want to explain this to you. Let me explain this. It wasn't only the rape incident, you understand? All of us have things that happened to us in the past. It wasn't the incident itself. What Satan had done was to take the incident in relation to the gift of time. She was a person like you and I are people who live in time. Yesterday is gone, Tomorrow has not yet arrived, and we're here now. Now, the tremendous thing is this. God means that time to be a tremendous gift. He means you to enjoy your time. He means you to serve Him in your time. He means you to be productive in your time. God has given us time as a tremendous gift. The angels have no time. You understand that? With reverence, I would say to you, God has no time. We are the only people in all of God's creation who've been given the gift of time in which to serve and praise the Lord. But to that person, time had become a bondage. You understand that? And what God gave her to be free in, she was bound in. Satan had locked her in time. And here she was, a prisoner in the present moment, because of something that had happened in the past. And as a human being, she had no way that she could reach back in time and undo that thing. But praise the Lord, He's the God of eternity. And He sees all of His gift at once. And He was able, by the hand of His Holy Spirit, just like Jesus said, "If I by the finger of God cast out demons, then you know the kingdom of God is within you." And God, by His finger that night, touched the X of 2 years ago and removed it from her time scale. And she was set free. And she began to enjoy the gift of God again. Do you follow that? Do you understand what I'm speaking to you about tonight? You need to get a hold of it tonight, because I want to speak to you in the power of Jesus. And you need to understand what I'm talking about. God had given that woman, like God has given you and me, the gift of our days. Do you understand that? I wonder if you've ever read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, have you? There's a time to be born and a time to die. We say, oh, it's beautiful. There's a song I was listening today about that. Everything beautiful in its time. But that's not a beautiful chapter, because the man who wrote Ecclesiastes chapter 3 was a prisoner in time. And he was landlocked in time. And I want to say, it takes God's Holy Spirit to liberate us in our time. And tonight, I believe in this meeting, there are people who need set free today in their time. Their very days need to be received as a gift from God. Because Satan has got you under the oppression of your days. Do you understand that now? You see, there's lots of folk who sit here today and they say, if only I could do something about yesterday, then I would be free today. Or they say, oh, I'm in tremendous trepidation and fear about tomorrow. I've met people crippled in their belly because they're so scared of what's going to happen tomorrow. The devil is an expert at getting you to cross your bridges before you get to them. Isn't that right? And he breeds fear, and he breeds worry, and he breeds anxiety, he breeds doubt, he breeds all sorts of things. And we should be living free today in time. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. Hold it, the fire engine has arrived. We're going to see the Holy Spirit falling in fire tonight. They must have known in advance. Give him away. Hallelujah. Yeah, he's got your lights on for you. That's a charismatic fire engine. Hallelujah. I bet you that shook him. We are all safe. Do thyself no harm. Hey. Now I really believe. I believe that we need to see what God's saying. You see? God really means us to live in freedom, and Satan wants us to live in bondage. And I'm going to speak about a whole number of things tonight in which that simple principle holds good. Satan's purpose is to bind you. The purpose of Jesus is to set you free. Hallelujah. It's very important to understand what I've just illustrated, the gift of time, because I believe that that's one area in which there are lots of folk who find bondage, because they don't understand. Satan has locked us in bondage in the very thing that Jesus has given us as a gift. You know your days are a gift? Do you? You know your life is a gift? You know everything that you do in those days? I tell you, it's an amazing thing to understand. What I said is true. The angels have no time. And we think 70 years, all our pension funds and everything else, they encourage us to be miserable about the very thing God wants us to enjoy. And from the cradle to the grave, you know, one guy when I was 25 years of age, which wasn't too long ago, one guy came to my door. He was a very nice guy, and he said, "You take it out now, Bob, take it out now." And I thought, what is he talking about, take it out now? He meant an insurance policy. He said, because you're getting older by the day, and if you take it out now, it'll be worth a lot when you're old. I looked at him, I thought, how much is it going to be? When I did my sums, it wasn't worth it. He didn't know my source of supply, that was the thing. But you know, the whole mentality we're in makes us worry and fret. We're concerned about our days. Jesus said, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will wear. Don't be anxious about those things. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. I tell you that they toil not, neither do they spin, and yet I tell you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Praise the Lord. Imagine tomorrow morning we can get up and say, here is another day to live for God and through God and by God, and another day in which God is going to give me a gift. Isn't that amazing? Imagine Monday mornings are a gift from God. See what the Lord said to me here as well. This is going to be very straightforward. The Lord said to me, not only are there folk in that kind of bondage, and Jesus wants to set you free tonight. Do you understand that? But God wants you to receive your life as a gift from him. Your days, he's numbered them. He's got them in his book. He knows what they're going to be full of. And if we live in anxiety and worry and bound by Satan, we cannot enter into the fullness of God in our days. You understand that? There's a tremendous joy in understanding. Somebody said to me, if you go on the way you are, you'll die before you're 50. Now, I have to tell you, a few years ago, they used to say to me, if you go on the way you are, you'll die before you're 40. You see? Well, I'm not dead yet, and I've just newly seen 40 a couple of months ago. They don't believe that. See that? Do I look as old as that? I'll be 43 on August the 24th. See? All right? That's just for cynics. My answer to that is this. If I die before I'm 50, I've had a whale of a life with Jesus. You know, I cannot stand this prudential insurance mentality about my days. They're God's days, and I fill them with as much as he gives me to do. And mainly I enjoy them. There are moments, you know, but mainly I find a deep satisfaction in life in that way, serving God. Don't you? And I, don't everybody say yes, because as I was sitting up, I've written it down here, look, they're not sermon notes. These are 10 things I'm going to tell you tonight. There are 10 groups of people here tonight, and some of them, what you've just said isn't true. Because some of you don't live in that liberty in your time. And God wants to set you free. It's his gift. Satan wants you in bondage in it, and God has given you it for freedom. Do you understand that? Just let me check my list, see where I am. Oh yes, the second one was emotions. Emotions. You know, we're scared of our emotions sometimes, aren't we? God's given us our emotions. Do you know that? Do you understand that? I'm glad he's given us emotions, aren't you? I would hate to be without emotions, wouldn't you? What a boring thing if I hadn't kind of the ability with emotions that we've got. Huh? But you know, emotions are one of the areas in which Satan has a field day. Do you know that God has given you your emotions for freedom, and of all the places where Satan brings bondage, he does it within the emotional life. Jesus wants us to be free, Satan wants us to be bound. For example, so many of us are governed by our emotions. God has given us emotions not to be governed by, but to be the response to other things that happen to us. To be governed by your emotions, we call that emotionalism. And whenever your emotions become an ism, you're in bondage. And God needs to break that bondage, because if you're being ruled tonight by your emotions, then your mind and your spirit are not clear to hear the word of God. You understand that? Some minutes you'll be being controlled by a sweet flowing stream that just meanders through you when you feel at peace. And another moment you'll be torn through by a raging torrent, when anger and all sorts of passion take your emotions. And you're governed by those emotions. Now even we Christians, when we come to praise the Lord, we're to be emotional, but not have emotionalism. You understand the difference, do you? The reason is we need to be set free to express God, to feel God, to love God. The Bible's full of feeling God and loving God, feeling tremendous things about God, feeling joyful in the Lord, feeling free in the Lord. But those kind of feelings which affect our emotions come because we've heard the word of God that reveals God to us. under the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're governed by the Holy Spirit and not by our emotions. Some folk are stripped of their emotions, dear people. They don't know how to express emotion. They're robbed of them. Satan has come along and he's taken a stripper and he's just gone right down the tree trunk and he's left them naked of any ability to express emotion. And I believe tonight the Lord wants to change that. You know, there's tremendous, I sometimes say inside every human being there's a little spiritual pygmy who wants to get out. And it's a tremendous thing when the Holy Spirit comes into your life and what he does is unlock your emotions. Now when the Holy Spirit does that, he doesn't turn you into an idiot. You see? But he sets you free in terms of love. He sets you free in terms of feeling about God. He sets you free in terms of being able to relate to other people. And it's God who created you. And what I want to say tonight, some folk who don't know how to express emotion, it's through fear. Satan uses fear to put a chain around their emotions. Well, what I want to say to you tonight, your emotions are a gift from God. They don't belong to Satan. God created you as an emotional person, with warm feelings, with passionate feelings, with all the kind of feelings of emotion, but he wants to temper them by his Holy Spirit and use them to the glory of God. You understand that? In the churches, in the main, in the church, we've actually had our emotions kind of stifled, and we've become kind of robots, and we respond, we pop up when there's a hymn number, and we pop down when there's a prayer. I was most confused. And it's even worse than that. Some of us break at the knees when there's a prayer and others just sit in their backsides. It's all kind of different things. We're programmed, see? I was mostly confused when I went to Poland and they sat down for hymns and stood up to pray. And it's taken me 5 visits to even get used to the thing, I think. Because every time they pop up, I start to sing and they start to pray. And every time I sit down, they start to pray and I start to sing. And we're all like that. God, you know, God, oh, I love it, you know. I really love it when the Lord set me free. The Lord in this last year or so has been really setting me free. He might have made me a nut, you might think that, but I don't think so. I might be a fool for Christ's sake, but I know. Do you know when your emotions are brought in under the power of the Holy Spirit and you give God your emotional life so that he can put it together again, it brings a tremendous peace at the heart of your own personality. Do you know that? Do you know you're free to love in the Lord Jesus? You know, you're free to be joyful. It's a gift of God. Satan doesn't want you. He wants you to be in bondage. And he does it in some people by robbing them of the ability to express their emotions. He does it in other people by exaggerating their emotions and by making them foolish. And the emotion goes wild and it gets confused. It's like a kind of box full of wires and all the wires get crossed. And people don't know how they feel inside anymore. And instead of being integrated inside, they're in disharmony. And whenever something happens, there's a whole lot of sparks go off inside them. And they don't know how to relate. They don't know how they feel. They don't know what to do. Because instead of in freedom, Satan has got them in bondage. Either the bondage of absence of emotion, or the stripping of emotion, the inability to express it, or the bondage of confusion within the emotions. You understand that? I want to speak to some young Christians here tonight for a moment. When we are being filled with the joy of the Lord, that's no excuse for nuttery. Do you understand? When we're being filled with the Holy Spirit and expressing emotion, God's control comes in and liberates those emotions in tremendous joy, but under his government. And whenever I see people going wild in kind of ecstasy, I mean the wrong kind of ecstasy, it reminds me of dervish dances in the worship of Baal. I say the Holy Spirit isn't in that. Because the Holy Spirit is a God of order and not of confusion. You understand? So I dance to the Lord. Praise the Lord, you see. But there are boundaries in what I do. There are boundaries that God gives me. I know the right thing before the Lord. I know the decent thing before the Lord. I know how to express that before the Lord. God gives me joy before the Lord. But I don't go over the boundary into the flesh where it becomes a demonstration of humanity and of the devil. And that's what we need in the charismatic movement today. If there's such a thing going still. Don't you agree? Well, that's what God wants to do tonight. As I was preparing just earlier, the Lord said to me, there are lots of folk who need to see that their emotions are a gift from the Father. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, nor shadow caused by turning. That's tremendous, isn't it? When I can accept myself in Jesus, when I don't live under fear or oppression when I don't live under the exuberant motivation of Satan, when he winds me up and confuses me, but when I know the hand of God on my life. Those are two things so far we've covered. Firstly, your days are a gift from God. You're not bound in them, you're free in them if you let Jesus be your Lord. Secondly, your inward heart. The psalmist in Psalm 39 said, "Oh Lord, you've searched me and you've known me. Before I was formed in my mother's womb, you knew me." Isn't that marvelous? And that's what I want to tell you tonight. God wants you to receive that. Can I tell you another thing? This is a bit different from your days. Your days are what happen in stages through your life. 24-hour periods governed by all sorts of things. But do you know that life itself is a gift from God? I mean the gift of life itself. And Satan even puts us into bondage there by overshadowing life by death. That's what Paul said in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Christ Jesus has come. Christ Jesus who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now I wonder why the Lord's saying that tonight. I want to hear it for a moment. That God means you to receive life as his gift. It's from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness. That Satan speaks death. And so often it's easy for us to participate in the feeling of death, and the dread of death, and the overshadowing of death. We're in a world in which there are a multitude of excuses for that. But I want to tell you tonight, you're to receive life as a gift from the Father, and not death. You say, well, what about death? What about death? It's a fact of life. What a stupid thing to say, eh? A great old, he wasn't so great, but an old Methodist preacher called Leslie Weatherhead. There was a lot of things I didn't agree with what he said. But one of the things I do agree, he said, for the Christian believer, death is only a milestone. You see, Jesus in his resurrection has robbed death of its spiritual significance. And so we as believers, we receive life in all its... life in all its fullness. That's what Jesus wants to give you. He wants you to receive life in its fullness. Hallelujah. Here's another one. Have a look at yourself for a moment, where you sit, will you? Your body. Have a look at yourself. Shake a leg for a minute, will you? Have a look at your arm, will you? Now I'm speaking seriously. There are dozens and 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 dozens of people in this hall tonight who think nothing of themselves in their body. They think they're a biological heap. That's what they think. They say, Satan. They say, Jesus has saved my soul. My soul has gone to heaven. He's given me the Holy Spirit. He's filled my spirit. But look at my body. Here, I want to tell you something. It says, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your mortal body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you and who was given to you by God? Isn't that amazing? Have a look at you for a moment. What you're looking at, this flesh, is where God dwells. Many, many of the things that afflict us are because we've got a wrong view of our body. Satan gets us into bondage in the flesh. See? I want to tell you, I believe that what Selwyn Hughes says is right. I hope you've read Selwyn Hughes' little book, God Wants You Whole. It's on the bookstall, isn't it? How many folk have read that book? Let me see. Come on, put your hands up for a minute. Right, another 978 of you need to read it by tomorrow night. It's one of the best books that's ever been written on healing, and it's on the bookstall. God Wants You Whole. And Selwyn Hughes says something that might amaze you. And he knows. He both lives with a wife who struggled with severe illness for years, and he himself has experienced amazing healing. And this is what he says, and I believe the Bible the Bible corroborates this. Satan cannot cause sickness in you. Now that's quietened you all down for a minute. See? That's quietened you all down. Because we all think, oh, it's the devil who's giving me the toothache. I want to tell you, and I believe Selwyn Hughes is right here. You say, what about Job? Oh, I think Job, Satan should... Oh, wait a minute. The only reason that Satan caused sickness in Job was because God removed the hedge around Job. If Satan could directly cause sickness in any one of you, we would all be dead tomorrow morning. We get sick because we're sinners. We get sick because sickness is part of the effect of sin. We get sick because sickness is part of the warp and woof of a fallen humanity in a fallen world. But I believe that there are boundaries through which Satan cannot pass. I want to tell you, every Christian would be dead tomorrow morning if Satan could cause it. It would be his most direct route of attack. And we look at our bodies and we think, Satan's got me in bondage. I'm not saying that sickness isn't satanic, you know. It comes from sin, which is satanic. And I'm not saying that Satan doesn't use sickness once it occurs. But I'm saying that I believe in the Bible that God has a protection zone built into nature, built into our humanity, through which Satan cannot pass, because he hasn't got God's permission to do that. See? Now, we need to be thinking a bit biblically and theologically before we go off with all nutty theories about why we're sick and all the rest of it. Because it will build more faith into us about how we can be made whole. Because what Satan wants to tell you tonight is that he's got your body. Now, you think it's ugly? It gets you in bondage about your body. You think it's painful? It gets you in bondage about your body. You think it's crippled? He gets you in bondage about your body. You think it's too fat? He gets you in bondage about your body. You think it's too thin? He gets you in bondage about your body. And so the folk who think they're going to get too fat, people who suffer from anorexia and nervosa are rarely fat. They think they're going to get it. And so he gets ideas about your body before they ever occur, and through those ideas, which are false ideas, he destroys you into bondage instead of the freedom of Jesus. Do you understand that? I know what I'm talking about. I used to want to be good looking. No, I'm serious. You obviously don't think I am. Well, suit yourselves. And I guarantee there's 100, 300, 400, 500 other guys who would agree with me here if they were honest. But you're not honest, you see. I've often, when I was younger, looked in a mirror and worried about how I looked. And I'm not speaking about the girls at this moment, because that goes without saying. And we get into bondage. I'll talk to you women for a minute, if you don't mind. I'll tell you how Satan wastes your money and gets you into bondage, can I? Do you mind? You're about to be able to shoot me if you like, but I'm good at ducking, right? Satan, listen, I used to work for a drug firm, a pharmaceutical firm that owned Coty perfume. Coty, you know Coty? That's the decent stuff. If you knew the millions, nay, billions of pounds each year that went out on that stuff, it would amaze you. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't freshen your skin up and take care of your skin and all the rest of it, but you know, it's sold mainly to people who are in bondage about their body. And they think if they do this, it'll make them a bit better, it'll make them last a bit better, it'll make that happen a bit better. And usually the truth is the folk that use it end up with brown paper as skin by the time they're 55. And the people that trust the Lord and relax in peace and have the joy of Jesus usually have the bloom of the Holy Spirit on them when they're 70. And the money you've used, you could have given to the kingdom. Now, I ain't being narrow-minded, just practical. Because there are two things I can't stand about women. That's one that wastes their money, and the other that's an awful, it's like go to a chemist shop to go near them. Yeah. I wonder if you Christians have ever thought like that. You youngsters for a minute. I wish I was down in the tent down there for a minute. I'd talk to the youngsters. Do you know the money that's wasted? Now, I'm not being narrow-minded. I don't want to exclude all of that. Do you understand? I believe in people looking nice and smelling nice and presenting themselves nice, although I usually have a difficulty during a meeting here. But I believe we need to see the gift of God in our bodies. And when we understand the gift, Jesus means you to be free in your body. Because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you and who was given to you by God. That is an amazing truth. Don't get too excited about it. I want this to try and be a practical gospel tonight. Do you understand? Because I really believe the Lord told me as I was preparing that lots of folk get into bondage about themselves, how they feel about themselves, how they look about themselves. I want to tell you tonight, God has given you that gift. And the fact of the matter, what Jesus said is exactly true. You can worry yourself to death about it, but you won't add one cubit to your stature. If you're small and rather portly, worrying about it ain't going to make you thin and tall. Huh? If you're tall and scraggy, worrying about it, unless you cut your legs off, is not going to make you thin and portly. You understand? I have met some very ugly people physically who had an amazing beauty of Jesus in them. And I never saw their ugliness. Don't you understand that? You see, Satan gets us in bondage about ourselves because we go for the wrong thing. Huh? No? Oh, the Lord's going to set you free, I'll tell you. You bring your body to Him and you see. Our emotions, our time, our life, our body, see? Here's another one. The Son will make you free. I want every person tonight in this hall who is involved in Christian work or ministry of some kind to stand up at this moment. Stand up, please. If you're involved part-time, full-time, but you're involved in Christian work or ministry of some kind, let me see you. These lights blind me. Now look at you. You're all candidates for what I'm about to say. See? What Satan wants to do in you, in your ministry, he wants your ministry to kill you. You heard me, did you, over there? Satan wants your ministry for the Lord Jesus to kill you. He wants your ministry to become a bondage and a burden. Hands up, those of you who are standing up, have ever felt worn out for the wrong reasons in your ministry and have known other people like that. Look at that. See that? That's what Satan does. And I want to tell every one of you that's standing up tonight, you are to receive, I'm speaking for myself here, because I've lived through it, and if my wife were up on the stage with me, she would tell you right now that she's lived in the last year or so with a man who has been accepting himself and his ministry in a way that he never did before. Now do you understand? Because if you don't accept your ministry as a gift, that is supposing the Lord called you. Hang on a minute. I'll just check. Because the first thing you have to be clear about is the Lord called you. That He told you to do it, or it's going to be heartbreaking. Eh? But let us assume for a moment that you're absolutely sure the Lord called you into your work and ministry. I want you as you're standing tonight to receive your ministry as a gift from God. Will you do that? Because if you will do that at this moment, like I've learned to do it over the last 12 months, I'll tell you what will happen. You will change your whole attitude towards your work for the Lord. Instead of striving to please men in your ministry, you'll see that it's the Lord you're working for. Instead of working to man's program, you'll ask the will of the Lord. Instead of getting worried about what gifts you don't have, you'll praise the Lord for the ones that you do have, and you'll serve the Lord in the way that He has decreed instead of what you imagine. Does all that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, the answer, you need to receive your ministry as a gift from God. Now, in my life, I'll tell you what has happened. When I've received this ministry as a gift from God, it has taken tension out of my ministry. Because my ministry used to be governed by Satan in many ways. That will surprise you. I've been a preacher for years. And yet I'll tell you, Satan tried to dominate my ministry. Firstly, by bringing elements into it that should never have been there. Because I hadn't recognized my calling of God. And hadn't relaxed in it. Huh? Secondly, he did it by odious comparison with the ministry of other people. You understand? He did it with audio, and instead of relaxing into my ministry as a gift from the Lord, I was so concerned about my ministry as compared with other people's ministry. And that's a gut rot if ever there was one. Do you understand? Thirdly, I have learned to do what God tells me and no one else. And boy, that's been amazing. And if you vicars in here for a minute amongst this motley crew and ministers did all that, you would find your diary had a different smell to it after a couple of weeks. Eh? You understand? Now, so tonight, all of you who are standing for a moment, I'm just going to pray. Here we go. Those who are sitting, just stand up for a minute near those who are standing and lay hands on them all, will you? Right, you just all lay hands on each other right round here. That's it. Just lay hands on each other for a moment. We're just going to pray. And I'm asking the Lord now to release fear from ministry, to release bondage from ministry, to release a curse from your ministry tonight, to release yourself in ministry. You receive this ministry as a gift from God, okay? Thank you, Father. Let's just be still for a moment and listen to what the Lord is saying. You just hear the word of the Lord. If there's been a burden in your heart, a tiredness in your ministry, let it go out through the bottom of your feet tonight as you stand, will you? Just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you and understand at this moment that if it's God who's called you, He's commissioned you, He's going to direct your feet, you have nothing to be afraid of. You have nothing to prove. The servant of the Lord shall not strive. Have you received it? Father, I ask for every man and woman now. Kira mora shalara katora shinomora katara shalara katora shinomora katara. Hoshana mara katora shinomora katira mora katara shalara katora shidikira pora katara. Kora shinomara katora shalara katora shinomora katora shalara katora shinomora katara. Father, I pray for every man and woman who's being received in ministry now. I ask you to confirm that ministry within their hearts tonight. And I pray you now to give them their ministries back to them as a gift from your own hand. The giver of every good and perfect gift. To take away fear and Satan, I speak against you. And I release these servants in Jesus' name into the ministry of your kingdom in the power of the Holy Spirit. Men and women of God, receive your unction from God alone and serve Him with your heart. And Father, I bless you that now you're setting hundreds free from that tension and from that fear and from that self-importance. Somebody here who's been full of self-importance, and the Lord is saying to you tonight, you are to be humble before me. You are to give your heart to me. It's not your work, it's my work. And I'll do my work the way I want to and not the way you want to. Now you receive that word from the Lord. Father, I just pray now that you'll set them free. You just lay hands on each other and just thank the Lord for a moment. Those who are praying for them, just ask the Lord to set them free. Will you? And thank the Lord for your ministry. And as you receive a blessing from the Lord in your heart tonight, just put your hand up as the Lord speaks to you, will you? If you felt you've received it from God, you've taken your ministry back as a gift, just as they're praying for you. When you know you've received it, put your hand up, will you? When you know that you've received it, just receive it back as a gift from God tonight, will you? When you know that God has spoken into your heart, yes, I've received my ministry as a gift from the Father. I live in the joy of that. Just put your hand up to say you've received it, will you? That's it. Praise the Lord. You receive it tonight. It's God's gift to you. Praise the Lord. Receive it all over the hall. Praise the Lord. Receive it. It's the ministry of Jesus in your heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, I bless you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Please sit down. Right, let's just deal with this while we're at it for a minute. All right?
Okay.
We're just going to continue. Those to whom the Lord's spoken about this emotional thing and the body thing and the day thing, I believe there are lots of people who've needed to be free in their emotions and who've heard what God's saying tonight. That your heart is a gift from God. That your life is a gift from God. Your time is a gift from God. The days of your life are a gift from God. And I'm just going to get, we're going to minister together as the body for a moment or two. And I just want those of you, I was speaking previously, to whom the Lord spoke about your emotional life and about where you think of yourself in your body, and about the very days of your life and the hairs of your head. Those to whom the Lord spoke, where Satan has been having a field day. If you've been in bondage in any of those areas, I want you to stand up for a minute, will you? Because we're going to be the body of Jesus together, that's right. Just stand up all over the place. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now I want all the folks sitting round just to gather round. Everybody to have a couple of people, hands laid on them for a minute, just as the body. Everybody around, come on. Doesn't matter if you're a day visitor, that's it. Praise the Lord. Find your subject and lay hands on them for a moment. We're going to pray a deep prayer of release here. Many people are going to be released in the power of the Holy Spirit tonight as they realize that their emotions belong to God. They're a gift from God. As somebody here who's been living under the fear of death, been living under tremendous fear of death, just put your hand up, will you, for a moment. Where those folk are, you've been living under, that's right. Put your hand up. Been living as two or three people, that's right, here we are. Now I want you to receive this, the gift of life, for a moment. Now, just as we're standing, I'm not going to do all the praying for a moment. I want you to bring these folk you're laying hands on and bring healing in the name of Jesus. You just pray in the Spirit, pray in English, ask the Lord to minister. The Holy Spirit is moving through the hall now. And as we're praying, many people are going to be set free in their emotions. Receive them as a gift from the Father. Receive new life. You minister to one another tonight. Come on, that's it. You're the body of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's right. Now, pray effectively for each other. Pray out loud for each other. Don't be frightened. Get Satan on the run. Satan, we speak against you. Jesus, we thank you. Father, we bless you. You pray for each other effectively. Let's see it happening there. Let the Lord touch your heart and your life. Praise the Lord. You minister the goodness of Jesus in there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, just as you're receiving the promise of the Lord, if the Lord's setting you free in your heart and He's answering the ministry prayer, I want you to put your hand up as those you've been prayed with. Will you put your hand up? If you're believing Jesus that He's done it, you believe Jesus that He's done it. Put your hand up so the people praying can be encouraged. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now those folk who are praying with you, when you've received a blessing and received that promise of the Lord in your heart, you put your hand up so that I can see you, will you? You feel that God has touched you in your emotions tonight, in your life, in your... Let the Lord set you free, will you? Father, I pray for every man and woman now. Don't worry if they just fall in the Spirit. That's lovely. Father, I pray for every man and woman who's having hands laid upon them at this moment. And I ask you now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you will come in liberty and give them the gift of their life back. The gift of their body. The gift of their emotion. The gift of their time. The gift of their days. Father, we rob Satan of his bondage. We take it away from Satan tonight. We deliver them from the hand of Satan tonight. We set them free in the name of Jesus, in the power of your Holy Spirit. Be free in Jesus' name. If the Son shall make you free, you are free indeed. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we bless you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let the Holy Spirit work in you. Father, we bless you tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We're going to sing this song, I Am a New Creation. It's number 50. No more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. This is a song for those of us tonight who are receiving the grace of God. Praise the Lord. Still praying, don't worry. Forgive me putting my hands up like that, but I want to see you tonight, and these lights block me out. It's important I see you, okay? Because we're the body of Jesus together. Now we're going to deal with something else, see? Alright? See, God means it for freedom, Satan wants it for bondage, but Jesus will set us free. Hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Have you received that liberty in your ministry? In your body? Only three of you? Now then, we're going to minister. Now just let me say about praying with each other. If you're not used to it, as the body of Jesus, make sure there's somebody there when we're praying with each other, that we pray clearly and effectively and in the Spirit. All right? Don't just go up and say, oh Lord, I'd like you to do a little thing here, you know. Or stand around like a gorm. If nobody has prayed with that person, let's get in there. This is the body exercise tonight. Lay hands on their head and speak to them in the name of Jesus. Huh? Give them the word of God. Wait for a word from the Lord. See, the Lord will have a word for you, brother. No doubt about it. In fact, I believe the word of the Lord is for you. Go to holiday. Go on holiday to the north of Brittany. Huh? What about that? Huh?
Amen.
I know he's going on Monday anyhow, right? Now then. There's one area I think we've got to talk about here tonight, all right? In a particular way. This is not complicated. Not saying it, but living it is. And that is the whole area of personal relationships and family life and home and marriage. I believe if Satan has got us in bondage anywhere, it's here. Parents, put your hands up. Okay, do you agree with me?
Yes.
Right. Husbands, put your hands up. Do you agree with me?
Yes.
Wives, put your hands up. You agree with me?
Yes.
No doubt. Children, put your hands up. That should be all of you if you've still got... I mean, in homes with parents at this moment. Do you agree with me? You see, I believe that the place that Satan has a real grip, if we're not careful, is there. Now, I want you to do this tonight, will you? You know, the scripture says a most beautiful thing. The scripture says he sets the lonely in families. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that terrific? So we've got two or three things to minister to each other here tonight. Remember what the Lord's speaking about tonight. He's saying, I mean it for freedom. Satan means it for bondage. But if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now then, we're going to minister to each other here in relation to couples for a moment. Because I really believe we need to understand in our homes, in relationships, may not be married couples at this moment, huh? And maybe you're thinking of being, see? Well, you better learn now what it's like. Because Satan tries to come in and destroy that in an amazing way. Okay? And I believe the Lord spoke to me as I was sitting up in that room over there earlier, just asking him what we'd speak about tonight. He spoke about this freedom and bondage thing. And he said, there are many folk here this week, and I don't want to sound to be condemnatory, because that's no good. But the danger is that our outside life is like a sham. That it's like a kind of facade, you see? That we can come with Bibles and we come... If only people knew our hearts and our homes, it would be something else. Huh? Hallelujah. Now we're going to pray at this moment without further ado. We're going to bring our homes and our families to the Lord. I want every man and woman in the home relationship who knows before the Lord the truth of what I'm saying and who knows that the Lord has spoken into their heart tonight, because I believe there are many, many dozens of us. I want you at this moment. This is a costly thing, I know, but it's no embarrassment. We're going to be the body of Jesus. And I believe we need a breakthrough. And I don't believe we get a breakthrough just by being anonymous. Huh? Do you understand? I could have 500 of you out here, and because there were so many, you wouldn't know that you had been here, never been anybody else sometimes. Eh? I want you where you are, because we're going to pray as the family of Jesus tonight. I know that there are couples here with difficulties, and I want us to be honest about that. I know there are couples here with problems. I don't mean difficulties between themselves. I mean they are mutually facing problems. Eh? Do you follow what I mean? Do you? Well, the couple together, that they have something in their home or together as a couple, perhaps in relation to the rest of the family or something in their life that is a problem to them. And they are trying to work that through together with the Lord. Eh? You see? Not so much just a breakdown between them for a moment, but something that they are working through together. And I believe there are lots of us in this camp, if we knew before out of here altogether, the Spirit just needs to lay His hands upon us. Right? Now, I want us to pray for each other. I want us to minister to one another. Okay? I'm going to ask you to do a most costly thing for a moment. But I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm going to go and give no words of knowledge at this moment. But those of you who would like the body to pray together as we gather around, I'm going to pray for every home here, for every relationship and family, because it's a place where Satan brings bondage, but Jesus needs to bring freedom. We are lights where we live and how we live. and God wants to do that. I want you to stand up at this moment. Now, that's tremendous of you to be so honest as that. And I really honour you in the Lord for standing, because I know the cost of that. Huh? Any more for a moment? Now, I want us to do this tenderly and in the love of Jesus, all right? Because we're not playing games with each other here. And I'm not going to do any shouting at you or anything else. I want you just to receive ministry from folk around you for a moment. So the folk who are standing again, if the folk around, if we just lay hands for a minute. I'm going to say the prayer for this moment, but if you will just gather and lay hands as the body, will you? On these dear folk, will you? And let's come as the body of Jesus. You know what the scripture says? If we agree, we're going to agree together as the body of Jesus at this moment. Let's lay hands on each other and allow the Holy Spirit to minister into us at this moment. And just exercise your spirit, brothers and sisters, as you pray in the spirit, as you come quietly. Let me hear that murmur before the throne for a moment, will you? And let's come together for these dear people who are standing at this moment. And now I'm going to ask the Lord to minister in power tonight, to break through the bondage. I believe there are people in tremendous disagreement in their marriage, disharmony. And the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? I believe there are couples here tonight, and one is a Christian and the other isn't. And you wonder what's wrong in your marriage. I want to tell you, that's what's wrong in your marriage. And I'm speaking to men in particular. You need to give your heart to the Lord Jesus tonight, and then you'll discover you've got a new wife and a new home, because you'll discover a new harmony. You could say to me, perhaps as a non-Christian man listening, and say, well, it's all right for you. Why don't she not become a Christian? Or once a person's become a believer, there'll never be anything else. I want to tell you in the name of Jesus, it's you that got to change and not her. And Father, I pray tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus now, as we lay hands on these men and women. I believe there are parents here who are tremendously worried about their children. We bring those children to the Lord wherever they are tonight. There's one couple, I believe, whose child is far away, has gone away from home, and who's lost as far as that family's concerned. But the Lord's just speaking to you tonight. He says, I know where the child is, and I will put my hand on their life and bring them back. And Father, I just pray now in the name of Jesus, as we minister to these men and women, for a new love relationship, for a new home relationship, for a new marriage relationship, for a new relationship between mum and dad, and between dad and mum, and between dad and the children, and mum and the children. Father, I ask you now to anoint them. I believe there are couples tonight standing up who are looking to God for an answer for the future. Well, God's saying to you, by standing tonight, you've taken a step that I'm going to honour, and I will give you my word into your home. Father, I ask you now to minister in the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. I break the power of Satan in these homes in Jesus' name. We cast out demonic influence in Jesus' name. We break the spirit of divorce in Jesus' name. We break the spirit of anger in the name of Jesus. We break a spirit of rebellion in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we claim every home. Father, I bless you tonight. We minister the power of your kingdom into these couples. And Father, I thank you that you're now bringing a new relationship. There are people in this hall being married again in the power of the Holy Spirit. God's giving love and a new hope and a new gleam in your eye. The Holy Spirit is setting you free in the name of Jesus. Receive that in the name of the Lord Jesus. I believe there are some couples who have been tremendously worried about the pressure of life, financial pressure and that kind of thing. And the Lord's saying, I'm your provider. I love your home. You honor me within your home and I will honor you. Father, I ask you now to minister to these men and women in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we bless you. And Father, I thank you that you make our homes that are guarded by your angels. And now we surround them in the power of your love. Fill these men and women now in the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You receive that in the name of Jesus. I want you just to, some of you haven't got your partners here, I know. I want you to say in your heart about your partner, I love you. I want you to turn around to your partner if they're there, and just the other folk just to stand away for a moment and ignore them, will you? And just let them be together for a moment, will you? You just find a new meaning in your home for a moment, in your heart, will you? I just bless you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done here tonight. That you've just confirmed that real spirit in our lives. You can sit down, will you? Just let the Lord just touch you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We'll sing a little song, shall we? I will rejoice in him and be glad. That's a wedding song. Praise the Lord. Let's do that.